very manly to admit it, but when it comes to certain things, I'm just a big chicken. I am. I admit it. Doing particular things makes me nervous, hesitant, insecure, or worried. Now, my dad was very bold. He wasn't afraid to just go up and talk to anybody at any time and just engage them. He would ask for things. He'd try daring things he'd never even done before. He would get up and just talk to people about faith. And I aspire to be bold like my dad, but I'm not quite wired exactly the same way and in such a natural sense that he needs to be pretty successful. That surprised me. I said, what? You act so confidently? You act so bold and daring, Dad. And he explained that you can be bold even when you're afraid. When you're uncertain. You can say things that simply have to be said. You can step up and do what has to be done. You can be the leader when you know there's a piece that's needed. Somebody's got to lead, you know, and you can do it. My dad taught me to operate by even when intimidated or feeling inadequate for the task or uncertain about what might happen. Speak and act for God's purposes and allow Him to give you the boldness that you need to accomplish His purposes. We've been learning from the life of John the Baptist the past few weeks, a man Jesus described as greater than anyone ever born. And to the best of my knowledge, John was not a father. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, it says, he sought to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. John sets the bar high, I think, and challenges us with an exemplary, bold lifestyle that is applicable to any parent and every believer. If you can find Mark 6 in your Bible, here John is set in contrast to the local ruler there named Herod, and they were polar opposites, Nero and Billy. King Herod, as he is called, was actually a tetrarch, not a real king, a wannabe fourth of a king, you might say, who was consistently manipulated by his murderous pride and his own narcissism. And he was a regional dictator who only inherited a fraction of his father, King Herod's kingdom, which was divided into four reigns or four regions with his brother. They each got a section. So he had to keep pissing up to the Roman emperors, asking for more territory and more power, always in competition with his own brother. He does very strong thing. He also describes lifestyle, arrogant and foolish. John was a man's man. He lived the power of the Old Testament property life. He lived in the wilderness, with camel hair and leather. He ate goat and wild honey, and he preached boldly to Babylonian Paul. Paul, the hypocritical religious leader. You rescued me and I for everyone. Let him band of followers, the one baptized Jesus, and unapologetically he pointed people to Jesus to follow him, because he is the ultimate king. John was as he was as the Old Testament prophet, like the voice of God, quieting in the wilderness. John realized Christ has come, and it's time to be bold about it. And that's really what it's time for us to be bold. To be bold with your boyfriend and say, no more husband privileges. It's time to be bold with your negative friends. You know, we've got to stop complaining about what we don't like and just get in there and support these young people. It's time to be bold when your friend's habit or lifestyle is detrimental. You know, you have to just say, this has got to stop. You know, what you're doing is not good. Have you ever had to say that to a friend? It's time to be bold when women are exploited, when gays are made fun of, when African Americans are treated with a double standard, when unborn children are defenselessly killed, when corporate bosses abuse employees just for lavish personal gain, when refugees are treated with disdain.
You thought I was worth saving.
It's time to be bold in a world where more and more people don't really know you. Dads, how can we set an example
so you clean
for our
me
children
up
to stand up
you
for what is right if we remain passive, indifferent,
so
indecisive?
You sacrificed your life so I could be free,
trappings and trends.
You cleaned me up inside.
And he didn't indulge like the rest of the culture. He didn't even live in the comforts of the typical community. His lifestyle made a statement about what was truly important and what the culture was. He refused to pretend you change your way, was but he wasn't asking them to do something that he hadn't already done himself.
You
he
thought
was
I,
exceptionally righteous
you thought
man.
I was
he stood out.
Shuffle.
Now, there's a slight intimidated by the powers of Rome, by the emperor.
I mean, the great people that make some blood
Mark said that. But Mark reveals the king was afraid of a country preacher. You know, it's not very kingly to be filled with fear, but Herod was. So John was a man who wasn't afraid to live in extraordinary righteousness, to call everyone else to righteousness, and to even hold the king accountable in his lack of righteousness. John's life and message were so righteous, so unmistakably of God, that you had to revere him. He made Herod and his woman Herodias feel guilty and ashamed and exposed, and I think he made Herod feel a little hungry for righteousness. Perhaps Herod was afraid of judgment that this man of God might call down on him. I don't know, but he feared John and revered him. You want to have some fun sometime? If you want to be sure that you win a round of golf, even if you play like I do, join a foursome of complete strangers out on the golf course. And then about the second or third tee, after you've been playing a little bit, reveal that you're a preacher. Now, I've experienced this numerous times in various contexts when people suddenly realize, oh, you're a minister. And then they start behaving differently. They're fumbling all over themselves, you know. And they don't need to, but that's what they do. I'll never forget this one time, this very arrogant golfer. He had a sweet swing. He was really a good golfer. But he's just crass and crude, cussing like a sailor, you know, and he's just saying all kinds of terrible things and carrying on and behaving badly. On the second hole, he discovered that he was golfing with two preachers, my dad and me. And suddenly, he's apologizing all over himself for his crude behavior, and it shook him up so much, he being in his presence, he just couldn't even play golf anymore. He'd hit the ball in the woods, and he'd hit it in the water, and so on. And that just made him more frustrated, more intense, and he couldn't cuss about it, you know. And in our presence, he felt like he couldn't. And he just couldn't relax and play because he thought he was in the presence of holiness. And I believe that's how John made Herod feel. He knew he was wrong. He knew he was wrong. I asked my neighbors why people don't go to church, and one of them answered, "Who wants to go to church to be reminded of all the things you do wrong?" And I mean, no one likes to be reminded of their sins, and we don't intentionally try to make people feel bad in that sense. But the truth is, we don't want people to ignore or to deny their sins and their need for Jesus. And you know what? We respect righteous people in our midst who gently but boldly call us to a higher lifestyle. I mean, they raise the bar, don't they? And there are some who will react negatively when there's a righteous person in their midst. Herodias was livid at John for exposing her adulterous, incestuous sins with Herod. She wanted to take John out. But Herod was in such awe and such fear of John that he protected him, at least for a while anyway. I pray that we will not be afraid to stand out in our righteousness for the Lord. Dad, show your children what it looks like to live bold, righteous lives at home, at work, in the community, in your recreation, devoted to the purposes and the will of the Lord, a holy life. You know, I grew up in a home. I knew my dad would never come home drunk. He would never have an affair. He would never lose his temper and strike me. I could trust that he was the same man at church as he was at home, vice versa. And I knew that he would always love his neighbors. I knew that he would use his resources for the Lord's purposes first. I knew he would prioritize helping people meet Jesus and follow Jesus. And I pray that we will be bold to live without conforming to this world. That we will set the standard high for others. And that we will win their respect. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 urges us to live in such a way that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 adds, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world. You know why he says that? You're part of his kingdom now. Okay? And so you're aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Righteous lives can cause people to fear, to revere, to be in awe. Secondly, a bold message confronts and convicts. As we've noted the last two Sundays, John the Baptist unashamedly called people to repent and to be baptized so that they'd be ready to be a part of Christ's kingdom. And he didn't hold back. I mean, he got very specific with people. I mean, he told them exactly. For example, he told the tax collectors to stop cheating people with false assessments. He talked to the Roman soldiers. They weren't Jews, but he told the Roman soldiers to stop extorting citizens and making false arrests because they were like the police force and to be content with their pay. And, you know, he told them to behave better. He called for everyone to have social justice. He demanded that people share and help one another, especially to assist the poor and the oppressed. He told the Pharisees, the religious leaders, to stop being so hypocritical and self-righteous, counting on their lineage as a Jew to be right with God. He told swarms of people to repent, to change your ways in specific ways. And people were convicted by John's message, and they were baptized. And many of them followed Jesus. And some remained as they were. They didn't repent. But it didn't matter to John who you were or how you responded to him. John confronted everyone equally with the truth, even the king. And at one point, Herod stopped to stay at his brother's house. And while he was there, he seduced his brother's wife. And he convinced her to divorce her brother and marry him instead. And at the same time, Herod divorced his first wife to accommodate this new union. And in the incestuous, tangled web of the Herodian family, this meant he was now marrying a woman who was at the same time his niece and his sister-in-law. Pretty messed up. And John called him on it. More than once, repeatedly, John told him, you can't do this. And he didn't try to soften it. And he didn't compromise in any way. He didn't back down, hold back. It was just loving truth. And it was getting to Herod. I mean, you can tell he's convicted at one level because Mark says he feared John, tried to protect him and saw that. But then that same verse says, when Herod heard John, he was greatly perplexed, but he liked to listen to him. He didn't understand everything, but he understood enough, and it drew him. It's like people go out of here, and they'll say, man, that was a great sermon. You stepped on my toes today. People will say that. You know, because we like people telling us the truth. We need to hear it, and we know we need to hear it. And that's what John was doing. And yet, Herod didn't repent, nor did he become a follower of Jesus. When we speak the truth in love and we help people see their need for change and their need for Jesus, it will convict them one way or the other. They'll know what they're doing needs to change. They'll know that. They'll know they need something. But at times, they will humbly respond in a positive way, but other times they'll just continue down the same destructive path like Herod, even though they've been confronted with the truth. They don't want to change. They want to be their own Lord. The volcanic eruptions of Kilauea in Hawaii on the Big Island have taken out at least 600 homes so far, maybe more now. Molten rock, I think, is still advancing. An unstoppable force, that stuff. And you know what? I got to thinking, if emergency workers came to my home and said, the lava is coming in the next couple hours, you need to evacuate now, you got to get out of here, I would leave. I would flee. But you know what? Not everyone heeds the warning when there's calamities like that. You know, you've heard the stories in the news. I don't know if you saw this actual photo in the news, but it's quite amusing to me. You know, here's this golfer. He must have been having the round of his life because he's not going to leave until he finishes his 18, you know. And maybe it was his last round. I don't know. I just think that picture is so powerful. What a great shot. And John came announcing good news and warning. The kingdom is near. Repent. And many responded, as I said, but many failed to listen, like those in the path of the fiery lava who refused to evacuate for their own safety. And that's why, folks, it's time that we get bold with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The man in that picture might be your next door neighbor spiritually. You know? It might be. That the golfer here might be the person in the cubicle next to yours at work, or the one who sits next to you in biology. It's your barista, it's your waitress, it's your beautician, it's your mechanic, it's your boss, your customer, your teammate, your nurse, your best friend. It might be your own children. Going about their lives ignoring the spiritual and eternal danger. And it's time for some bold confrontation, that they might be convicted of their need and come to believe that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, the only way out. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The Bible is very plain about that. Every single person in judgment will be assigned to either heaven or hell. You're deciding now where you spend eternity. Now, you know what? If the Bible mentioned hell just once, that would be enough. It's all we need to hear. That's enough. But the Bible speaks of hell 54 times. The one who talked about hell more than anyone else, you know who that was? Jesus himself. Jesus. And all you have to do is look at the cross of the Son of God and realize the great lengths God would go to make sure no one had to be condemned to hell. He cares. He's provided the one way out, and we need to tell the good news. We've got to tell the good news with boldness. Now, maybe you've had some awkward experiences trying to share your faith, and now you think, well, there's no way I'm going to try to do that again. That was disastrous. Or perhaps you're I don't want to be thought of as a fanatic. People aren't going to respond to a fanatic. Well, John was an unashamed fanatic, let me tell you. But you don't have to be obnoxious or overbearing. We don't want to turn people off, but we do want people to know we care enough that we want to dare to try to share the good news. And I think we do care. But can I just be honest with you? I think we care, but I think there's a lot of times we care about other things more. Care about what people might think of us, or how comfortable it is to do this thing. We may let other pursuits and pleasures and worries be our priority. Will we boldly dare to become more intentional, building those relationships, earning trust to speak, and then speak the truth in love? One Christian brother served as a leader in a community business organization. And he was in that leadership role for years, but it had finally come time for him to step down. And so he was doing that, and through the years, so he had kind of been more of a pastor than a colleague with these business executives. And he was setting example and being a friend and giving wise biblical counsel and being a leader. And they dearly loved this man and respected him so much. And in his final meeting, they were trying to honor him. They gave him an opportunity to express some final remarks, and he simply said, "I wanted to share something with all of you that is most important and could help you in the future." And then he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and Savior." And he sat down. And that kind of bold testimony, that kind of public testimony, makes people think. It convicts and moves people. Thirdly, a bold life costs, but saves lives. John's boldness saved many, many people, but eventually it cost him his own life. And yet, if you think about it, he actually gained more than he ever lost. Psalm 118, verse 6 resounds, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And it is worth the cost to be bold for Jesus, whatever it costs us. Think of all the lives saved because John dared to speak into the culture, to speak into people's lives boldly, even the king, because he cared about the king's eternal life. That's why he did it. The church is not a passive fellowship defending ourselves from Satan's attacks. Man, we are storming the gates of hell to save as many people as possible, to rescue those who Satan has illegitimately claimed for himself. We're bringing people into the kingdom, the glorious kingdom, for all eternity. Jude 23 says, "Save others by snatching them from the fire." We need to understand it that way. Charles Spurgeon passionately pleaded, "If sinners be condemned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let no one go in unwarned or unprayed for." I admire so much Butch and Jazita and Shefke and other friends of ours in Kosovo, who endure persecution and being ostracized from family and from neighbors because they follow Jesus. And they don't just follow him, they proclaim him. And they're trying to save their fellow Kosovars. And they want their fellow citizens to know the Lord. And so they're standing up. I deeply admire Jorge and Diana Lugo, who live in Venezuela, in Caracas, one of the most dangerous places, and in fact, it's ranked the most dangerous place to live in the world. You go outside and you take your life in your hands. You just go to the store, going to church, whatever. You go outside, you might be kidnapped, you might be hit by a bullet. It's a dangerous place to live. Sometimes they go weeks without water, without medicine and basic groceries. But they're there, they're living there to save as many lives for eternity as they possibly can. Are they scared? You bet they are. But are they bold? Definitely. Now, if these two ordinary people can live so boldly in such extreme danger and difficulty, why can't we even dare to have a friendly conversation about Jesus with people that we know and love, with our neighbors and co-workers and teammates and friends and children and parents? I, for one, I'm telling you, I need to be more intentional. I need to be more bold than I've been. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray for you and encourage you to be bold with the message of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to encourage me and pray for me in this same mission. Even the Apostle Paul entreated his fellow Christians, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. In fact, experiencing tough persecution in Jerusalem in the first century, the first Christians prayed, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." And I want to pray that prayer right now. We come here Sunday after Sunday in the comfort of our fellowship and air-conditioned, heated building. We love our church family, and it's safe to be here, and it's a good thing. We all share common faith, and but we all know lots and lots and lots of people who are unsafe. We know lots and lots of people who don't know you, Lord. We know lots and lots of people who stand condemned unless they find out about Jesus. We know lots and lots of people who are going down destructive paths and need to change. And we ask, Lord, that you will give us boldness. You promised your Spirit would be with us. We just need to do it. I pray for my brothers and sisters today. I pray for this family that you would enable us beyond our ability, beyond our fears and uncertainties, that we would be bold with the good news. We pray that there would be open hearts. Sometimes we'll meet resistance and even hostility, Lord. We pray that whatever we meet, we do it in your power, confident in you. Confident in our eternity, confident that you work all things together for your purposes. Lord, give us boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you have the boldness today to say, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I want Him as my Lord and Savior. I know that He must increase in my life. I must decrease. I know I don't have everything together here. I know I've sinned and I need a Savior. I know I need what Jesus did on the cross for me. I know. And I'm ready to repent and be baptized today into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins and His Spirit to come and dwell in my life to help me." So if you're ready to take that step today, during our encounter time, just step on up here and find me, and we'll help you do that. Perhaps you've come here today and you realize how terribly frightened you've been to talk to other people about sin in their life or about their need for Jesus, and you need boldness, and I pray that you'll use this time to renew your strength in the Lord. Remember the price He paid for you. We meet around the Lord's table each Sunday to remember what Christ has done for us. And so if you want to participate in that, and as you do, promise your boldness, seek Him for His Spirit's power in your life, and be a strong testimony for Jesus. I hope you will. You can serve yourselves anytime you're ready during this.